that is going well with you, if you've used any part of that devotional reading kind of method of interpreting the Bible with your family and asking those questions, if you're using that, I hope that that's been helpful for you over the last few weeks. And I also want to say thank you so much for those who did message me privately and make a few comments there. And I pray that, and I thank you for that encouragement that I received from you. Now, today and over the next few weeks, I'm going to be speaking to us now about prayer. I was thinking about this yesterday, and these four messages that I'm going to be speaking, and Pastor Ben will be preaching in between these weeks I do, these messages around prayer are designed to change lives, change our walks, our faith, and to bring joy and peace with God. They're designed to do that. They're designed to bring you closer to God in real ways that will affect you and your loved ones around you, and even those in our communities. Now, you might find that a little strange to hear a pastor say that, who preaches regularly. You might think, well, isn't every message designed to bring us closer to God and to achieve those goals? Well, yes, that's true. But the reason I say that these particular messages around prayer and around Bible reading preach to change us, to bring us closer to God, is because Bible reading and prayer are often referred to as the ordinary means of grace. Historically, the Christian church has talked about Bible reading and prayer as the means of grace. That is, these are things, purposes and mechanisms that God always uses to build his people up, the Bible. You can't get away from that. And prayer. They're like stable diets. These are wherever you've seen revival throughout all history. It is because the Word of God has gone forward. The Bible, understanding the Bible, people preaching and teaching the Bible and talking the gospel. And that accompanied with another means, which is prayer. God's people praying. And hand in hand. So these are things that never change throughout the history of the church or out throughout the Christian life. These are fundamental, and so often these are very important means that God uses, sometimes pushed to the side. It's an interesting phenomena that takes place. The very things that God uses to build us up and to bring us closer to him are sometimes the things that are neglected. So they're ordinary. They're ordinary not in the sense of their power, but ordinary in the sense of their normality for the Christian life. The Word, the Scriptures, and prayer. Now, it's true that God uses many other means, such as fellowship and various gifts that are given and distributed amongst his people. But these all have, again, a strong component of being Word-driven and prayer. Well, let me begin then this morning by opening with a word of prayer. And I'd like you to join with me if you're at home to just quieten our hearts and bow our heads as we bring our thanks and requests to our Father. Our gracious God and Father, we want to thank you this morning for your love for us through the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can call you our Father and call upon you because you love us. And we know you love us because you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior and our Lord, to redeem us, to pay for our sin, and to bring us back to you through faith and repentance. We thank you that we've been able to remember that this last week or so through the celebration of Easter on Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, as we're reminded again of the great cost and great love and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ for those he came to save. Father, now as we turn to your word, we want to learn to pray. We ask that you'd teach us to pray. For many of us who pray, have been praying for many years, we pray, God, that you would speak to us afresh, remind us of your words and your truth, that we would not leave this place or hear this message in vain, but you would cause your word to accomplish and change us and invigorate us with spiritual life and vitality, which only comes from you. So we ask this for ourselves, for your glory, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles there at home with you, your tablets or whatever device your Bible might be on, I'd like to invite you to come with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to be looking at what is often called the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer, given that Jesus is giving this prayer for the disciples to pray. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 18, although I will be concentrating on verses 5 through 9 when we come to the actual message. But it's been set in the context of Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18. So hopefully you're turning there now and you can follow along as I read to you God's word this morning. So reading from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Praise God for his word this morning. I find it interesting that when Matthew records Jesus' words on prayer here, on Jesus' words, he places them between Jesus' concern for those people who want to let others know how righteous they are and their practice, particularly in giving to the poor, and secondly, how spiritual they are in their devotion to God through practicing fasting. So in this group, we saw Jesus speaking about giving, about prayer, and about fasting. But in both these examples, Jesus seems to be addressing the wrong motive of those who do these things. Motives that involve one receiving a reward from God because of their spiritual disciplines and going without for that purpose, so they might be rewarded. Jesus also seems to be pushing back against those who make a public display of their righteousness in the hope that others will somehow go, wow, that person is really such a spiritual person. Look how much they give to the poor. They must be so in tune with God and in favor with God. Or likewise, someone might say, of such a person. Look how often and miserable those people are who fast. They just look at their faces. They must be so spiritual that God must be so pleased with them and their devotion. You know, it seems that Jesus here in his words, he's really not impressed with such outward displays by those who seek to either get praise from onlookers or to get a reward from God for being so involved in these things publicly. It's in the middle of these discussions, these two warnings of Jesus, that Jesus teaches his disciples, his own disciples, how they ought to pray. So let me ask the question, what can we draw from Jesus' warnings when it comes to prayer then? Well, we might want to say this. True prayer with God comes from a different place than seeking one's own praise either from others or from God. True prayer that God accepts is not primarily about showing off before others or even getting in God's good books. Prayer to God is fundamentally about a posture of humility and a means by which we bring God glory and not attention to ourselves. Hence, Jesus tells his disciples that when they pray, they must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they might be seen by others. Now, we don't have a lot of that going on in our culture, where it's seen as a righteous thing to go down and stand on the street and pray long prayers or repetitive prayers. But that does not mean that there's not a degree of showmanship amongst Christians at various times, whether it be in prayer or other areas of forms of spirituality and devotion. Such displays of prayer by Jesus says, such people who do these things outwardly or to gain a reward have already received their reward. The fact that they are drawing attention to themselves. Jesus says, rather when the disciples pray, Jesus' disciples, and you find this in verse 6 if you have your Bibles there, we are to go into our room and to shut the door and to pray to your Father who is in secret. Now, I must say at this point, in case you're wondering, this does not exclude public prayer meetings or gathering together, but rather Jesus is drawing a parallel to a behavior which is motivated by wrong desires and even wrong practice. In fact, the very fact that Jesus says, when you pray, pray our Father, is an indication that there may be others around, not just my Father, but our Father together. Prayer is an intimate business. That is what Jesus is getting at. It is something that is not to be flaunted around, to show off, if you like, one's personal spirituality. Prayer is not either a competition to see who can use the fanciest phrases or the longest and most flowery expressions or the most archaic language. True prayer is somewhat the most natural expression of just talking to God with true and appropriate humility and speech. And in many ways, the way that we speak to one another respectfully is the way that we should speak to God. We don't have to put on a Shakespearean voice or language or anything of that sort, because we're speaking like a child would speak to their father, their parent. What Jesus is also saying is that one should be conscious when coming to God in prayer that their attention is upon what God thinks about you and your heart before him, more than one trying to think about what others might think around them. I can remember when I was a new Christian and we would gather in youth group in various places and people would pray, and I was quite fascinated about the ways different people prayed and the things they prayed for and even the context and the kind of what happened at some of these prayer meetings. I remember being asked to pray once and feeling really kind of very nervous about what would I say? How should I pray? And yet you know, I'd pray quietly at home and I'd pray at other times, but to be put on the spot to pray is quite a fearful thing, quite a nervous thing when you're not used to praying publicly. And that's the way in some ways it should be. That's a good sign, as opposed to beating your chest and coming out with all kinds of things that really are not directed towards God, but just sometimes people do that out of embarrassment. But the prayer, when we come to pray, Jesus teaches us that our focus is not to be on those around us, but on God. And I think that really helps when we come to pray. God loves to reward those who come to him in secret and in humility this way. And thus Jesus says, when you do, your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Who has not known this blessing for themselves, those who walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Who has not been drawn to pray privately and carefully and thoughtfully alone and received the peace of God through bringing our concerns to our Heavenly Father? Jesus also deals with another era when coming to God in prayer, and that is found in verse 7, when he addresses those who think that by the number of requests they make sure God will answer them and if prayer will be effective. That somehow repetition and the same thing over and over is somehow going to get God to answer the prayer in the affirmative. Again, Jesus tells us that is not how God works in answering prayers. So do not be like this, Jesus says. And the reason Jesus gives is found in verse 8. And the reason he says is because your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. Clearly, the amount of words, of repetitive words, of certain words, is not the basis of being heard by God. So what is the basis of being heard by God, and how should we approach him in prayer? Well, part of the answer to that comes to us in Luke's account of Jesus teaching his disciples to pray, and it is in response to Jesus himself praying. The picture is Jesus is praying. In chapter 11, verse 1 of Luke, we hear that upon Jesus finishing praying, one of his disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. The way we really learn to pray, friends, is when we have a desire to pray, like the early disciples did here. There was a desire for them to want to learn to pray, a desire to really talk to God. Now, I want to be completely open with you here. The amount of times that we advertise prayer meetings before, when we could gather together, and how many times we've preached on prayer and tried to encourage people to pray and seek God, you know, a lot of that, that's good, and we should do that as Christians and pastors where people are a little bit not used to praying regularly. But really, when you enter into a time of prayer, and prayer becomes a very important part of your life, it doesn't come from oneself. It comes from the Spirit of God. It comes when God moves one's heart to want to have fellowship with God through prayer. There is a desire that is birthed within the person, the individual, that they want to pray. This desire is what the desire is expressed by the early disciples when they saw Jesus praying. For whatever reason, they had been around Jesus, they had been hearing his words, they had been seeing his behavior, they had known that John had made disciples who would pray, and they wanted to look to the Lord Jesus Christ to say, now teach us to pray. There was a desire. They wanted to be in on it. They wanted to be having fellowship with God and know their God just as the Lord Jesus Christ did. And that's where the true desire and true prayer is birthed, out of a desire that has been given by the Spirit of God. And there may have been seasons in your life where you have felt that you have been drawn to prayer. And although I don't want to use myself as an antidote, I remember here when I started to hear about the Lord Jesus and read my Bible, and God created faith within my heart and life, I wanted to be to the prayer meeting. I wanted to get to church early to pray. I remember a time when, for me, that was the most important part of our service, We used to pray before the service, and there would be probably 30 or 40 people would gather for prayer. And I just wanted to be at that prayer meeting. I wanted to have that fellowship with God. Is that because I was some kind of spiritual guru? No, it's because I felt my need to be in fellowship with God. I believe that only God could answer prayers and move in our prayer meeting and move in our service and praying for the preacher and praying for people to have a real personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got together and we sought God. And to be honest, that was the most wonderful times of the service. It was great hearing the word preached. But to have that personal fellowship with God, that intimacy with God in that room together as believers, was a wonderful and special time. Now, the desire to pray can come for all kinds of reasons, for all kinds of seasons in people's life. Maybe it's because you're in a time of trial that God draws you to be seeking Him and not seeking answers in yourself. It could be that you've been hearing the gospel and thinking about the words of Jesus and the Bible more consistently, and there's a growing desire to be close and to communicate with God. It could also be that there are those around you who are suffering and upset, and you've tried to help them and you just realize that you're quite powerless to change them, and so you're wanting to draw near to God through prayer and ask that God would intervene and do something in their life that you cannot do. Maybe it's simply that you know that you don't pray, and that you as a parent, perhaps you're a parent, and you know that God has commissioned you to make disciples of your children, and that you've fallen short in this area with your family, and there's a sense, and perhaps there's even a sense this morning where you want to do something about that, that you're not going to be dismissive of this message, that God is working in your heart, even now as I speak, to go, yeah, you want to be leading your family as a man of God or a woman of God praying to your Heavenly Father. Well, desire comes from God. But for whatever reason, you sense it's time to get on with prayer in a deliberate way. We want to turn to the words of Jesus this morning to help us, to teach us to pray. There are many reasons God brings us to and puts a desire within us, like He did His first disciples. So how are we, or how should we pray? If you want to learn how to pray, there is no better place to go than to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you look with me, this is what Jesus says in verse 9. Jesus says, pray then like this. Well, let me just pause here for a moment. You may have heard, and it's true, that Jesus is saying, pray along these lines, or pray according to these things, is a more fluent translation. Because as we head into the Lord's Prayer over these number of weeks, you'll realize that every other prayer, this prayer is not, the disciples don't follow this pattern strictly. There are many other times we hear them pray in different kinds of things. This is not a rote prayer that Jesus says, well, just pray this way and don't pray any other way. Jesus is dealing with themes and ideas and ways to pray to God about the kingdom. And so, that's verse 9. Pray then like this. And these are the words that Jesus teaches His disciples to pray. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. That's the first words that Jesus says. The truth that Jesus wants His disciples to remember, which are recorded in Scripture, is this. Remember, first and foremost, God is our Father. When Jesus teaches the disciples to speak to God in these opening words with the words, Our Father, Jesus is reminding them of a number of very important things about God. Among other things, essentially, that God is our Father. The Scriptures are rich with the idea that God rules all creation, all things, all places, all times, and all peoples. Jesus has also been very direct when speaking to His disciples about His own relationship with His Father. But the language that Jesus uses here for the disciples to approach God is this term, our Father. The God who made all things, the God and Father of all creation, is not only the Father whom Jesus comes to do His will, but is also the God and Father of the disciples. Now, those who follow Jesus, He has become their Father. Friends, it's family language, isn't it? It's you are a part of a family when you speak about our Father. Now that you're my disciples, God, is now your Father, Jesus is saying. Not just you individually, but collectively. Our Father. Pray God, our Father, disciples. Our Father means it's not just my God or my Father or my faith or my wants, but our Father collectively, brothers and sisters, that we're addressing in prayer. It reminds us that we come together as His children, that we have been called and adopted by our Heavenly Father as His children, that we are now in a privileged standing position as children. It reminds me that what we've all been given comes to us from our Father. It is His air that we breathe, His world that we live in, His food that we eat, His person that we draw everything we need from and have from Him alone, everything, because He is our Heavenly Father. When you think about God's name as God reveals Himself throughout the Old Testament, all the different titles that God has been given, God Almighty, the God that heals, all these different names that God, many hundreds of names, that the one name that Jesus would use for the disciples to call upon God Almighty is this name, Father. Father. The title, Father. Our Father is the name that we use to approach God Almighty. It's the relationship that Jesus wants us to think about when we come to God, that He is our Father. It's the framework. It reminds me of the well-known hymn that says, it reads, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. The Father of all creation, our Father. So say, Jesus says, our Father above all. Secondly, the next little phrase is, our Father who is in heaven. Jesus reminds us that not only is what God's name is, that we could come to Him as Father, but also His address. He gives us our Father's address, who is in heaven. He lives and reigns in heaven. Why in heaven? Well, it reminds His disciples that God rules as a Father from heaven. He rules from above, from where the things of this earth do not affect, where He is reigning from above with complete authority and power, a place where all blessings flow from, when God is your loving Father. I say to my younger children when we are praying, just remember that you're talking to God who is in heaven. Sometimes when they start wiggling around on the floor or doing other things or being a little bit loose and playing like children do sometimes, Just remember who we're talking to. We're talking to our Father who is in heaven. Thirdly, Jesus tells us when we come to God in prayer, we do so to hallow His name. Hallowed be your name. Now, that's not a word that we use a lot in contemporary society. So what does that mean, to hallowed be your name? Hallowed be your name. It means we come to God in prayer to give Him praise as our Father. Remember, God is to be hallowed. When we call out to God in prayer, it is that we would hallow His name and sing His praise. First phrase that Jesus speaks to teach them how to pray. I could not help think of a song, a well-known song by Stevie Wonder when it came to this. You might think that's a bit strange, but listen to these words. You'll know the song. It's called I Just Called to Say I Love You. Starts off, no New Year's Day to celebrate, no chocolate-covered candy hearts to give away, no first of spring, no song to sing. In fact, here's just another ordinary day. No April rain, no flowers bloom, no wedding Saturday within the month of June. But what it is something true, made up of these three words that I must say to you. No summer's high, no warm July, no harvest moon to light one tender August night. no autumn breeze, no falling leaves, not even time for birds to fly to southern skies. No Libra sun, no Halloween, no giving thanks to all the Christmas joy you bring. But what it is, though old, so new, to fill your heart like no three words could ever do. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care. I do. I just called to say I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. This is the reason for calling out to our Father in heaven, to hallow his name. So you might ask the question, why am I using a song to illustrate these words of Jesus to how to pray and how to approach God? And the answer is because in many ways, prayers are like songs, like love songs at that. Think of the Psalms of God, how they are love songs, and many of them are prayers, and how many of them contain in the opening words, such as these, as I read to you from Psalm 138. These words in verse 1 and 2. I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. This is a song, a psalm of praying, in a sense, hallowed be your name, God. Christopher Ashe, as I was thinking about songs and prayer and these opening words of Jesus to come to give God praise, Christopher Ashe writes these words. Jesus gave his disciples the pattern of the Lord's Prayer when they asked him to teach him to pray. In many ways, he writes, the Psalms are the expanded version of the Lord's Prayer. Or we might say that the Lord's Prayer is a compressed version of the Psalms. Just as the Lord's Prayer expresses in a brief adoration for his majesty of God's holiness, a yearning for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, a supplication for God to provide for us all that we need, and a concern to live with true piety in a sinful world. So we shall find that the Psalms express these expansively and majestically. Jesus teaches us as his disciples to pray. This prayer, and this way when we come to God, is in love for who he is. And we want to come to God and love him and praise him for all he is, as he is our delight and our Father. Prayers are like love songs. I wonder if you've ever thought about that much. Prayers and the Psalms and songs, they really do tell a story to the one that they are sung to or about. I believe this is really the spirit of these words, the spirit of Jesus' prayer, is when you come to God with such a view that your praise is on his lips and in your heart, that we might hallow his name. One thing, how do you do this then? How do we do that? Well, one thing you might like to do is when it comes to pray as a family or as an individual, as a parent, you might start by asking everyone to think about a couple of things that you could thank God for that you received today from God. I mean, you could just, I mean, I'm sure many of you even do this now, but it's a good thing to remember. You can do this from very small children right up to any age. Just think about those things that have been a real blessing, a real praise point, and realizing that came from God. It could be anything at all. The food, the sleep that you've had, the Xbox games you might have been playing on, or Roblox. It could have been a book you read. It could have been some time you spent with another family member, a board game. It could have been just listening to the birds sing outside. It could have been having some time in his word. It could have been a kind word that you said to someone else that came upon you, and you could just see the joy that brought by saying something kind in the home during the day. And you want to thank God for that, knowing that comes from him and it's a blessing to you. Just think and to look around and to count God's mercies in your life, and to do this as a group and just to hear each person retell what they were thinking is a wonderful way before we come and we give God praise for who he is and what he's done. It really, when we come to God, Jesus is saying, come with an attitude of gratitude. Well, it helps to come thankfully, Jesus' teaching, and to think about God and what he's done. It reminds me of this verse in Colossians 4:2, where we're instructed by the Apostle Paul to devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So Jesus gives us God's name, our Father. He gives us his place of address, ruling from heaven, and our reason for calling upon him, so that his name would be hallowed in all the earth. I just call to say I love you. I just call to say how much I care, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Well, let us come before God now and pray. And I do pray that you would find time and energy and desire from God to have fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Well, let us pray before we invite Steve and Maddie to come and lead us in song. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift you up in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises as your people declare your mighty worth. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Amen. God bless. Steve, come and lead us in a